Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, 6 Eyes, Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the 6 Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the 6 Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the 6 Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4 F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the good old Six Eyes Gospel Bus tonight?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you and me.
All right. So what do you got in the way of prayer requests tonight?
Well, we'll pray for what's going on in Israel with the Hamas and them. And it's just getting so worse. Everybody's talking about it on the bus and everywhere. I've been talking to people today. I says, you know, Jesus could come any time. It's getting to the place where I believe it's time.
Okay. So, well, while we're taking prayer requests, Ruth, just hit refresh just to be sure Emily isn't actually there and
okay.
It hasn't showed up.
All right.
Just to be safe.
All right, I got it. And just pray for lost souls and just pray for everybody that's been on our prayer requests up to now. And we just praise the Lord that Emily's mom's better and things that are going on there.
Blog Talk Radio Studio.
Press,
it's coming up now.
Press the control so we don't get that back.
Yeah, it's just coming back up again. So we just want to praise the Lord for what he's doing to help everyone, and we're glad that Tim's okay.
Yeah, and I just heard from him just before the show, so he's doing great. So just to let everybody know, that's a prayer of praise. Also, Maggie Balfour wants us to thank God for the Bible we were able to track down for her, so we want to praise the Lord for that. She's very happy about that. We want to thank God for his provision, praying, of course, for all our different countries' leaders that they'd seek after God, not after man, for our military, for all our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, for those who work in hospitals, nursing homes, the patients in both places, all our sick and shut-in, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Tap that control again. And then, of course, for all the team of Six Eyes Radio Network, and, of course, your family, my family, your friends, my friends, your fans, my fans. Amen. And did Emily show up?
No.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll let you open us in prayer, Ruth, and then we'll get started right into the show tonight.
Well, dear Lord, we love and praise your name, and be with all those people out there in those over 100 countries, and bless all of them and their needs too, Lord, and be with us as we want to worship you and praise your name. We love you so much. Amen. The Jewish Temple. Honey, we got Emily on the line. She just got on the line, sweetie.
All right, Emily, what do you got for us?
What'd you say, Ken? I said, what do you got for us in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises tonight?
Well, my usual prayer request, also, I definitely got a prayer praise tonight.
All right, hit us.
Hit us good.
How hard?
Amen.
Kenny, you said hit us. How hard?
Well, if it's a real good prayer praise, it'll hit us hard, so go ahead.
Okay. You know, Mike, what I told you my finances were today.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I told you and Sister Ruth before the broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, I walk in the building. A lady that was coming into my building in front of me dropped a dollar bill.
Well, praise the Lord.
And I picked it up because she must not have realized it. And she had got in the door and sat on her walker. And I walked over and I said, here, honey, when you rolled to come through the door, this fell out of your pocket. She handed me a $10 bill. Said, here's this. God bless you. Thank you for being so honest.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
and we're number
six. All right.
How's everyone? Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody?
Two thumbs up and all toes, too.
Same here.
Well, definitely two thumbs up for me and two paws up for Trumpet. Yeah.
And give him hugs, too.
Yes. You know, it don't beat nobody, you know, trying to beat somebody. You know, it don't. You know, and that was real nice for her to give you $10. You know, because anybody else, they would have kept that and just kept moving. But you don't know if that was that lady's last or what. You don't know. So that was a good deed right there.
Amen.
Right, because I know this lady, she just lost her husband not too long ago, Six.
Yeah.
And
you know, yeah.
I was raised better. Hey, if you see somebody drop money, don't place it in your pocket. If you can, catch up to them and hand it back to them.
Yep.
Yeah, my mother, we went to a restaurant, and looking down, it was a bag. And I don't know if the person that owned the restaurant was in a rush, said he put people in right places at the right time.
Right.
My mom found what I guess was the money that they made for the day or however it goes, and it was supposed to go to the night, you know, the deposit box, whatever.
Yeah.
And she gave all that money back. Now, anybody else would have kept that money. And she got an award for that, you know. And I was always taught it don't be trying to beat somebody. It don't.
Right.
What about Arby?
So that's a blessing. Hello.
Yeah.
And you all say a prayer for Nah. She had a procedure today. And her throat is scratchy, so just say a prayer for her. She said a very low, faint high.
Just tell her I said, love you, beautiful.
I'll say the same. Love her, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing all right. No, thank you.
Quit talking.
Rest that voice, Queen Nye.
Rest the night voice, beautiful. Oh, I got a praise report today, too. I was just getting ready to cross Route 20 to go get my bus, and I turned around and heard this lady say, would you want a ride? I says, you bet. And we became friends, and she took me all the way home. So I praise the Lord for that, too.
Amen. All right. Well, is that all the prayer requests from everybody?
Well, my prayer request is always for the crazy evils of the world that's going on around the world, praying for all the unrest, all the mental patients, just having God put a rejuvenation of mindset, and always praying for my family as well as your family, and just increase us all with abundance, patience, and get our endeavors out. Amen. I'm complete.
And be praying for Six. He's still got to get our theme song for next Monday show. So the clock is starting to bite him in the behind a little bit. So be praying for him.
Well, I'm sure he'll come up with something. Lord will be with him.
Hey,
and
as long as the clock doesn't bite him too hard, it won't hurt him.
You know, guys, I think we may have to come up with a comedy show on the side.
All right. Well, with that, since we do have Brother Six with us, I was going to get Ruth to open us in prayer, but I think we'll get Brother Six to open us in prayer, and then we'll get into the show.
Sounds good.
Okay, Brother Six, are you ready to open us in prayer? Well, since he obviously didn't get his coffee, or he dropped on us, how about you, Emily? You want to do it?
I'm right here. I'm right here. Dear Lord,
okay, go for it.
For all that you do and continue to do for us each and every day, you allow us to wake up when our eyes pop over, making the woke list. We want to thank you. Got us to this point right here. We want to thank you for all you do and continue to do for each and every one of us. We want to say a prayer for the homeless out there. As they battle these frigid cold extremities, we ask that you give us our increase so we're able to do and help the homeless with the resources that we have. It only takes a wave to cause a ripple. It takes a ripple to cause a wave to cause a typhoon, and so forth, so forth. So just bless us with resources so we're able to do and help the homeless. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's get into our songs and boogie a little bit and have a hoedown for Jesus. Amen.
Let's praise the Lord.
Let's boogie, buddy.
Today, I've been counting the many blessings in the family my dad raised. All the love we shared through the years has come back to me in many ways. And today, my mind flashed back to my childhood days. I recall my first day of school and how much it hurt my dad to see me start off in patched-up blue jeans. But Dad, today that's the style. My boy won't go anywhere without his patched up jeans. They're old and faded, and they look like they've never been cleaned. And I remember Sunday school, and how I'd get mad when you'd make me go. But now, I can see why that was so important to you. Because we prayed together, and we stayed together. Now, my dad was a man that knew his own mind. And I remember when he'd call us all together, and he'd say, family, it's love and time. His world was built around Mom and the four kids they raised. And I can still see the smile that always came on Mama's face each time Dad would say the table place. The house was filled with lots of noise, but when we got too loud, Dad would always say, oh, those devilish boys. There was three of us. The fourth was a girl. Well, you know Dad had a choice, a favorite, that is. But he'd say, I love one just as much as I love the other. Oh, would you look at her? She looks just like her mother. I've heard a lot of other people talk about my dad and talk about the things that he'd done when he was young. Because I might be a little bit prejudiced, but he was the best in the county when it came to a contest and games. Because he could outrun, outbox, outshoot any of the professionals that came to town. Now, my dad was a good man, and his family came first, and he did his best for us. And I know sometimes he worked till it hurt. The Depression wasn't an easy time. A dollar a day was the pay back then. And I remember my dad leaving the house before daybreak and walking 14 miles to get to work without being late. Oh, I guess everyone remembers the good times and the bad. Good times were happy, bad times were sad. And when I do something wrong, he'd straighten me out with his hand or a belt out behind the house. But now, Mama didn't raise her voice or fuss when we get out of hand. She'd just say, now that's enough. And if we didn't obey, she'd tell Dad what was wrong. And without a question, Dad would lay it on. While we picked cotton, chopped cotton, stacked hay, pulled corn, well, that's the way we made our living back then on the farm. But things are different now. It's like a new world we're living in. Everything's a mad rush, not enough time for friends. And when I think of my dad, it makes me proud, you see, because he gave so much of himself to make life easier for me. Now, not everyone is lucky as I am to have a father who wanted the best for me out of life. And now when I hear a church bell chime, it's almost like my dad saying, family, it's loving time. So why don't you go to your dad right now and tell him you love him? And I'll bet you a dollar against a dog biscuit that it will mean more to him than any gift that money could ever buy. Because, you know, you can't ever repay for all the things he's done for you. And the best way I know to let him know is just say, Daddy, I love you.
Love you, Papa Six Eye.
I recall the night that you came into this world. I couldn't believe the doctor when he said it's a little girl. Oh, I said, now, Doc, you must be wrong. You see, I want a boy. Then he laid you in my arms, and my heart sang with joy. recall the day I took you on a fishing trip. You said, Daddy, won't that hook hurt the fish's lip? And you said, if they don't get air, those things in the can will die. So we turned the worms loose and chased some butterflies.
Myself to sleep. last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. If I had enough to eat, and don't think I don't notice that I rise never meet. I lost my wife and little boy. Someone crossed that yellow line. The day we laid them in the ground is the day I lost my mind.
Together, so near the promised land.
you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617, and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Ruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe.
Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
And as you can see, God speaks to the Son, Jesus Christ, and he says, thy kingdom, O God. God himself calls Jesus God, which is also found in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God, and he has the scepter forever. So, that is found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Amen.
Brother Jones got a look in his face. Spread your news all over the place. Sister Becky must be living in sin. She's down at the altar repenting again. If we don't start minding our own, everybody's gonna get stoned. You better drop that rock before you hurt somebody. At another church split. If we don't start minding our own, everybody's gonna get stoned. You better drop that rock before you hurt somebody. Take a long, long look in the mirror. You just might see. More
before you hurt somebody. You better drop that rock before you hurt somebody. You know you could really put somebody's eye with that thing.
Go, go.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. Brother Timothy Brewer coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is the Hebrew word for Lord, which is Adonai. Adonai. A, using Daniel, O-N-A-I, Adonai. Psalm 119, verse 89, declares forever, O Lord, Adonai, thy word is settled in heaven. This has been Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with the Hebrew word of the week. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write Donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
She saw Jesus was her need. She found her answer there, flowing from Calvary. Flowing from Calvary, where Jesus gave his life. Flowing from Calvary, where God gives such delight. Jesus came to give his all for you and me. We'll find his gift to us flowing from Calvary. Understand, there's only one way in, and it does not come through man. Jesus took your place, he paid your sin debt free. Your salvation will come to you, flowing from Calvary. Is all for you and me. We'll find his gift to us flowing from Calvary. Oh, we'll find his gift to us flowing from Calvary.
Of something that's free. and he's been there.
Big and small ways, we'll keep
the love that keeps us strong.
And it's always true.
And friends are friends forever. If the Lord's the Lord of them, then a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long to live as
passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow.
Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This peace officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Well, I better get to business, I guess. Amen. Little boy, one day the teacher was teaching some object lessons, and he opened a nutshell, and out of the nutshell he took a little piece of paper on which was written John 3:16, and he held it up and said to them, what is this? And the little boy piped up and said, sir, that's the gospel in a nutshell. And that's what it is tonight. John 3:16, if all the Bible was destroyed from the first word in the book of Genesis to the last word in the book of the Revelation, there would still be enough gospel left in John 3:16 to save the world. It was a long time after I'd been preaching. It was a good many years before I ever attempted to make a sermon from John 3:16. It seemed so high and so wide and so deep. It simply did not lend itself to sermonizing. I felt more like getting up in the pulpit and shouting it out and then sitting down and letting the people see it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's power in that verse. There's enough power in that verse to break your heart and bring you to Jesus once it gets down in your heart that God loved you. Mr. Moody told the story of the young man from England that preached for us 5 or 6 nights on For God So Loved the World. The same text, and he was so impressed by it, he said when he built the old Chicago Avenue Church, he put on the gas jet right over the pulpit where it would blaze and burn night after night. God is love. Dr. Torrey said one night, he said, I was preaching one night, and a man went by, and the door was ajar, and he looked in and saw it, a drunken man, and he looked in and saw that burning out. He went down the street mumbling to himself and said, it ain't so. It ain't so. Nobody loves me. Dr. Torrey said he came back then and sat under the balcony, and when I had finished the sermon and dismissed the people, I went back and sat down by him and put my arm around him and led him to Jesus Christ. If it burns into your heart that God loves you, it'll transform your life. You know, there are three wrong attitudes that people have toward God. Three wrong attitudes that people have toward God. The first is the attitude of fear. I do not know how it ever happened. Maybe I didn't listen to my preacher right. I know by now that I did not read my Bible right. But somehow when I was a child, I always thought more of Jesus than I did of God. Maybe it was because my mama told me when I was good that God loved me. And when I was bad that God didn't like me. Don't ever tell your child that. Because it was bad people for whom God loved. I heard a mother say, honey, you be a good little boy and you'll go to heaven. That's not true. You can be a good little boy and go to hell. You don't go to heaven because you're a good little boy. You don't go to heaven because you're a good little girl. You don't go to hell because you're a bad little boy or a bad little girl. You go to heaven or hell because of what you do with Jesus Christ. He is the one that you have to deal with. The attitude of fear. And so when I went to bed at night, oh, I love Jesus. I thought of the little children that climbed up on his lap and he put his arms around them. And then when I went to bed at night and I thought of God, I was afraid. And I pulled the cover up over my head. I thought he was a tyrant that sat upon a throne, was after me and would be happy when the day would come when he could cut me down and put me in hell and watch me burn for all eternity. I was afraid. But you say, Dr. Lakin, I thought the Bible said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I thought he said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's true. And I thank God that he is a big enough God to compel worship of men. And yet while he is that kind of a God, he is a God that is so tender and so loving and merciful and kind as to say, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A little girl said, oh, Lord Jesus, pour into my heart all of the grace that you have. And someone heard her say that and said, honey, your little heart couldn't hold all the grace of God. She said, it can't hold much, but it could run over an awful lot. To pour into her soul that. The poet said one drop of the blood of Jesus was seized to quench God's ire. Another said one drop of the blood of Jesus could wipe away the red anger spot from the brow of God. God never had any sea of ire. God never had any anger spot. A personal displeasure God might have had, but a personal animosity God had with no man. Personal animosity God has against no man. Governmental displeasure, yes. You said, that's why one said, why little boy said one day to his mama, mama, what does God look like? What does God look like? Have you ever asked yourself, what does God look like? If you'd like to know, listen to this. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me hath seen God uncovered walking among you. Jesus said, put your fingers in my hands and feel the nail print. Thrust them into my side. Listen, he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Do you want to know what God looks like? If you want to know about his power, oh, if you want to know about it, look at the stars and see his wisdom. Look at the flowers and see his glory. Look at the ocean and see his power. But when you look at Calvary, you will see his heart. I heard my mother pray. I heard my preacher preach. But the thing that broke my heart and brought me to Jesus was this. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and shame. He turned his languid eyes on me as beneath the cross I stood. Near shall I forget that look. If you want to know the heart of Jesus, if you want to know the heart of God, come to Calvary.
Amen.
The attitude of fear. second attitude that's wrong with the universe, that's wrong with man tonight. His attitude toward God is the attitude of the universalist. The attitude of the universalist. That God died for, that Jesus died for everyone, hence everyone would be saved. Leading a person to Christ, and the man said, what does it say here? Said, for God so loved, who said the world? That he did what? Gave his only begotten son. What for? That all the world might be saved. He said, don't lie on God. He didn't say that. Jesus died, my friend, that all might be saved, but he died that all could be saved. Never once, my friends, listen to me, no one is saved simply because Christ died. No one is saved simply because Christ died. There's plenty of bread in the bakery for your hunger. There's plenty of water in the reservoir for your thirst. But if you're going to have the effects of it, you'll have to appropriate that to your need. And there is salvation for you, and there is salvation for everyone in this room tonight. But not simply because Christ died, but by faith you appropriate that by believing on him, and then it becomes effective. Oh, Jesus died that all might be saved. I was speaking to a man not long ago, and I said, my friend, why don't you come tonight to Christ? He said, I don't know whether I'm elected or not. I said, have you ever been a candidate? You'll never be a candidate, and you'll never get elected until you're a candidate. And when you become a candidate for salvation, God votes for you, the devil votes against you, that tied the election. Now it's up to you how you vote. Amen. Oh, listen to me, my friends. Don't you ever for one moment, whenever you become a Calvinist, my friend, you're ruined. You're ruined as a soul winner. You're ruined as a soul winner. I do not believe that God ever created millions of little babies to just toss them into hell. And yet when you become an ultra-Calvinist, my friend, and reason it out to its logical conclusion, you have to believe in infant damnation. I've heard the old three-seaters and the old primitives say that there'll be infants in hell not a finger length long. I do not believe that. As in Adam all died, so in Christ was all made alive. And all that they lost in Adam, they got in him. And now they're saved until they come to the place when they make their own decisions. And when you break and violate the first law of God, then you failed, and you've got to turn to Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you that he might redeem you, pay for all of your iniquities. The third man who stands without any hope, my friend, listen, is the indifferent. The man that is indifferent. I believe that's the one thing that hurts the heart of God worse than anything else, the attitude of indifference. That hurts. Listen, I'd rather you'd come at me in physical combat as to pass me up day after day and ignore me, never speak to me. And some of you, my friend, tonight, I'll go about enjoying all the blessings of God, but like a common hog eating acorns under a tree, you never lift your head to grunt your thanks for one thing that he did for you. A hog never looks up till he's flat at his back. That's the only time some people will ever look up. Indifference. That's what's wrong with your church. That's what's wrong with this country and this community. What? The attitude of absolute indifference. Let me tell you this. 75% of the people of this city tonight live as though there was no God in the universe. As though there was no God in the universe. You pass him up day after day. Someone said to me, Dr. Lakin, what does a man have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just sit right where you are. Hell hath enlarged itself and opened up its mouth without measure. And all the wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget or ignore God. Just leave God out of your thinking, that's all. Yonder as they took Jesus out of the city of Jerusalem, going around yonder to the hill of Calvary for the crucifixion. And as they passed out of the gate, the old spit and whittle club was sitting there. That's the crowd that used to sit around the barbershop and the grocery store and cuss and whittle and run the government. Let me tell you something. And as he passed out, one of them said, I believe there's going to be a crucifixion. And they got up and followed the crowd, and they were too lazy to go all the way up. And one of them said, here is a good place to watch it. And sitting down, they watched it there. Sitting down, they watched him there. Think of it, sitting down, too lazy to go all the way up. They watched him, who? The Son of God and soon to be Savior of the world. They watched him. He who would say in a little while, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They watched him, the Son of God, dying upon a cross. They watched him there, where? On a cross. In their place, in your place, and my place. They watched him there. They watched him there. Soon the rocks would leave their ancient cohesion. Soon the veil of the temple would be rent in twain. And soon, my friend, the sun would refuse to shine. And soon the graves would open and the saints would arise. No wonder the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Why? Because the Son of God was dying upon a cross. And no wonder it was rent in vain. Listen to thee. No wonder the rocks left their ancient cohesion. Why? Because the rock of ages was being rifted. No wonder the sun refused to shine. Because the Son of Righteousness was dying upon a cross. No wonder the graves burst open. Why? Because he who was to conquer death, hell, and the grave was dying upon a cross. To me, like instead of one poor fellow saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom, that whole bloodthirsty crowd would have broken down and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes. Now I come to another thing. You say, Dr. Lakin, why did God ever love me? That's the big miracle to me. Why did God ever love me? And that's the thing I've tried to figure out. A person said to me one day, why did God ever choose Israel? Said, I wouldn't serve a God that had a chosen people. I said, I don't know why he did. I've been puzzled enough trying to find out why he chose me. That's the big puzzle to me. I think, first of all, he loved us because he created us. And he was interested in the thing that he made. And I believe he created us as he said it into the Garden of Eden. Amen. I believe Adam came fresh from the hand of God. A little two-by squirt said to me not long ago, he said, how old was Adam? I said, old enough to have more sense than you got. Because he named all the animals, can you? He said, you don't believe in evolution, do you? I said, I didn't. But now, I'm not too sure. I believe God created him as he said he did in the Garden of Eden. I believe God loved us because he created us. Then I think God loved us because of our need. Why, did you ever go into a home where there was an afflicted or one? Did you ever notice that? My friend, that's the one that always gets the most affection. If you want to know how much somebody loves you, wait until they have an opportunity to express that love. And then you'll know, amen? Somebody said to me, Dr. Lakin, wasn't it a terrible thing that Adam sinned? I said, I don't think so. I don't think it was too bad. Why? Because of Adam, I never sinned. I never would have known how much God loved me. Because I never would have an opportunity. He never would have had an opportunity of expressing his love. If Adam had not sinned, it was Adam's sin that gave God the opportunity of expressing the love that was in his heart. Why did God love me? I think God loved me because of what I am. Somebody said, do you believe man has a soul? I said, no, I do not. Neither do you. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Soul, what is it? It's a hope that is higher than the throne of God. Endless ages shall pass by and the soul shall watch the procession. Stars shall be wrung out of their sockets and the earth shall be burned to a cinder and the soul shall watch the conflagration. Soul, what is it? It's a hope that is higher than the throne of God. No line can measure it. Nothing can erase it. Soul, created in the image of God. In what image? In the image of the eternity of God created he man. And from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. And my friend, until you find the grave of God, man will live on. There was a time when I was not, but there will never come a time when I will not be again. You look at me tonight, but you don't see me. You see the house I live in. You see the house I live in. You see the vehicle through which I express my emotions, my joys and my sorrows, but the real me, the real I, you do not see. You do not see. Take me out of this tonight and this won't get hungry. Take me out of this and this won't get thirsty. Take me out of this and it won't have joy or sorrow. It's the me that's in it, my friend. God loved me because of what I am. I am a soul. a soul that'll live on and on and on. Shine on, little moon, but when you've been blowing out, I'll still live. Burn on, Mr. Sun, but when you've been burned to ashes, I'll live on. Shine on, little stars, but when you've been pulled from your sockets to the sky, I'll still live on, I'll still live on.
Amen.
Time will never come when I will cease to be.
Amen.
My daddy slipped off to heaven one day. And the undertaker prepared his body, and I went in and stood beside his coffin, and I put my hand upon his head, and I said, Dad, you're not dead. You just moved out for repairs, that's all. I remember that night when I preached here, and I staggered off the platform, and they got me, and Jerry the next morning came and took me to the hospital, and the doctor said he must go quickly to the hospital. They didn't know what was the matter and haven't yet found out. They took me to the hospital, and that night, Jerry and another brother came up the back way. The hospital was closed, but they came up the way they took out the dead. And when they came up, and I came in, and Jerry said he never saw a man shouting his way into heaven. And I said, Jerry, you think that was the last one I'd ever preach last night? And Jerry said, well, I hope not. I said, well, she is a good one. Let me tell you. Thursday night, we closed here. Friday night. Friday morning, Ronnie and his wife came up to see me. They came over and kissed me and then told me goodbye. And I said, you go on back to Florida now, son. And if I don't make it, Jerry will have this old house fixed up. I won't be in it. But he'll have this old house fixed up and bring it back down to Fort Gay. And you bring Mommy Bob up there. And then go up there in the cemetery and have my old neighbors to dig a grave down beside your daddy where the Lord went 2,000 years ago and cleaned it out and made it a good place for me to wait for the resurrection. I won't be there. But let me tell you something tonight, my friend. If I cease to breathe upon this platform tonight, and the next minute I'll walk the streets with God and the angels.
Amen.
He said, what about the unconscious? There'll never be a moment of unconsciousness. Amen.
Amen.
There'll never be a moment of unconsciousness. To be absent is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
To be present with the Lord. And then I think he loved me because of not only what I am, but what I'm capable of becoming through grace. I know God loved me when I was a 17-year-old boy plowing a mule around a rocky hillside. I know that God loved me then. I think he looked beyond that, my friend, and saw me preaching the gospel up and down and back and forth across this continent, across one ocean 20 times and then the other two, preaching the gospel and then here tonight preaching, my friend, to across the nation and around the world to crowds like this tonight. God saw that. That was more than I could ever imagine or even dream about. Amen. I thank God for men like this that's given me an opportunity. I don't know. Young preacher said to me not long ago, what did you ever do to promote yourself from a mule and saddlebags to the largest tabernacle in the world and all of this? I said, not one thing. I never asked a man for a meeting. I never sent out a brochure. I never asked a man how much you're going to give me. The fact of the matter is I never expected to be anything more than a country preacher. And that's what I am tonight. I don't know exactly which country, but I'm a country preacher. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You don't mind if I shout a little while, do you? Did you know what? He said that he loved dirty sinners. He said he loved us and washed us. He didn't wash us and then love us. He loved us when we were unlovely. Anybody can love lovely people, but it takes divine love to love unlovely people. When Mrs. Lakin loved me, she loved me at my best. When I went to see her, I put on my best clothes and my best manners, and that's the reason she's a little disappointed in me now. But let me tell you something. When God loved me, he loved me when there was nothing about me to be loved. He said he loved me and washed me. Now I want to talk about the extent of his love for a moment. He said, for God so loved the world. No, just a few people on the right side of the tracks. Oh, God loved the world. God so loved the world. Not just a few of the highbrows. Highbrows are fellow that's educated above his intelligence. He said he loved. Oh, just a few of the upper crust. A few crumbs held together by dough. Let me tell you something today. Oh, for God so loved the world. And I've been asking God to give me a love for every soul for whom Jesus died. God so loved the world. Isn't that something? And that's the thing I like about this man. He has a world vision. the poor and the hungry and the needy. Spend $1 million to feed this group and that group and the other group. Doesn't matter how much they talk, let them talk, amen. But let me tell you, God's looking on and saying, I'm proud of it, son. I'm proud of it, son. Oh, I've often tried to imagine whom God loved, and I can't quite think, I can't quite grasp the thing. So I'd like to say tonight, angel of God, step over the embattments of heaven, will you please, and come down the golden stairway and stand here by me on this platform and tell these people whom God loved. He said, okay, let's go down yonder and climb the marble steps of the millionaire's home and tell him that God loves him. Then we'll go down in the hovel and the hut and tell the harlot, the drunkard, and the scarlet woman, and the impure to tell him that God loved them. And then we'll go out across the field to the farmer's door to tell him that God loved him, and to every village, hamlet, and town to tell them that God loved them. And then out across the rippling waters of the mighty sea to India's coral mountain and down India's coral strand to tell them that God loved them. And then out to the isles of the Pacific where the dark-skinned mother nurses her babe to sleep by the lapping of the waves to tell her that God loved her. And then if God had forgotten, he'd dip his pen in the ink of fire and write in blazing letters across the sky, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That means that he would not perish, that he would never, never, never again come into condemnation. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Mrs. Lincoln and I walked out of our home up yonder one morning in West Virginia while the dew was still on the grass, and walked up there and stood under that big oak tree where a little mound contains the body of all that we ever had. And as I stood there and put my arm around her, I said, honey, I know what God meant now when he said he gave his only begotten son. He gave the only son he had. What for? That whosoever believeth in him. Well, you said, I don't know who I'm elected. He didn't say that. He didn't say whosoever's elected. He said, whosoever will. I wouldn't know, I might not know my own name in it, but when he said whosoever, I know I'm whomsoever. Amen. And therefore, tonight, he breaks the power of canceled sin. And out of love to him tonight, I say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin, I resign, my precious Redeemer. My Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, tis thou. Thank God. If I had to meet God in 30 minutes, that's the best I could do for you. Lord, I gave him the best I had tonight. Next, the last night of this meeting, I'm going to preach on heaven. Short message. How far is it to heaven? Who's there? You think they're conscious? Yeah, they're up there now. I think Mother and Dad and Bill, I think they sort of leaned over the embedment sitting in the grandstand tonight. Looked down here and Mo said, help my baby boy preach tonight.
And now it is time for Tim Gruber to give us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
I feel like God wants me to be all that he wants me to be.
There are people in this world born into strife who can substitute love for their inconvenience in life, such as the blind who can't see the night from day, but yet they can see love in so many ways, such as the deaf who can't hear a sound, but yet they can hear when love is around, such as the mentally disabled who can't comprehend, but yet they can love until there's no end. There's the people in this world who think they're the perfect kind. These are the people who are mentally disabled, deaf, and blind.
All right, Tim. Now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Brother Kenny, when it comes to this song and this poem, the theme, I would say, is the omnipotence of God, or you could also put it like this, what is impossible with men is possible with God.
Ooh, a very biblical answer, I would say. But are you sure that's what you want it to be for your final answer?
Yes, Brother Kenny, that is my final answer.
Well, Tim, that was a very good answer. The all-powerfulness of God, I have to say, that is a good answer because he's definitely more powerful than man. But what we were looking for is you shouldn't judge people and hold them as unable to do things just because they have an inconvenience or a disability. Because in the song it says, if God were to take away their sight, maybe then you would see the light. God will use who he'll use, but it's man that will try and choose. And in the song it talks about, at the end of the poem it talks about, but it's those who think they're the perfect kind that are really the disabled and blind. So that's what we had to go with. So although what you had was good, so that's why even though your answer was good, we had to give you the bad buzzer this time.
I'll do the Pastor Bonnet. I'll make the Pastor Bonnet move and just pray. But then again, at the same time, forget about that. We don't pray for buzzes. Okay, we don't. They don't have a soul. I mean, it's a buzz. It doesn't have a soul. It's gonna spread for anywhere. So just blow it up. In that case.
Looks like you're buying a new buzzer for next week. All right, and now we'll go on with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Amen.
And the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like the sight of a man can borrow, this world is gonna burn.
Is the Jewish Temple. Several years ago, the wife of a Chicago lawyer, Hannah Ravens, left in a legacy of $50,000 to be used toward the rebuilding of the Jewish Temple in Jerusalem, the first temple of a permanent nature ever created by the Israelites for worship purposes was built by King Solomon on Mount Moriah, the traditional site where Abraham prepared to offer up his 17-year-old son Isaac as a willing sacrifice unto the Lord. The ancient temple of worship was noted for its lavish beauty of detail rather than for its great size, although it included an impressive series of buildings 7 years, were required to complete the building, which was dedicated to the Lord, in the 11th year of Solomon's reign, and it was deliberately destroyed when the Babylonians captured and burned Jerusalem, approximately 600 B.C. That's before Christ. Since that time, there have been two other temples constructed. One was built by Zerubbabel and a remnant of the Jews who returned from the Babylonian exile, and the other one, which was in use in the days of Jesus, was built largely by Herod the Great. It began about 20 B.C. and required 46 years of construction. Today, there's no permanent Jewish temple in Jerusalem, built upon Mount Moriah, only over the Holy Rock, where the ancient Jewish religion will again be revived. Nevertheless, there is much enthusiasm in the hearts of many Jews throughout the entire world, passionately longing for the ancient temple of God in Jerusalem to eventually be rebuilt. The major obstacle in rebuilding the Holy Jewish Temple is the only biblical site for the location of the temple to the old sector of Jerusalem, where the Muslims now have their shrine, the Dome of the Rock. And naturally, this site is under the control of the Arabs, who are bitter enemies of the State of Israel. Humanly speaking, the erection of the Jewish temple on the original site is an impossibility at this time. The interesting thing from a prophetic standpoint about this article, which says, Jerusalem is talking about rebuilding the temple, so the Jewish temple must be rebuilt in the not-too-distant future. It's possible that the Dome of the Rock, which now stands upon that holy site, will be cleansed and dedicated to Jehovah. According to the strictest Jewish law, any place of worship may be transformed into a Jewish synagogue or temple by the removal of all idols and its rededication, this time to be the God of Israel. And yet, at the same time, the Dome of the Rock could be torn down in the earthquake of Ezekiel 38:20 in your King James Version. Then, too, it's very probable that the very religious Jews will decide to tear down the Dome of the Rock and erect a new temple similar to the one built by Solomon during his reign. On the other hand, an earthquake could destroy it when Russia invades Israel. That's Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, you have to read the whole chapter to get the context on that. Okay, because this latter phase, that is rededicating the Dome of the Rock, is most unlikely, because there will be a big building of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Excuse me, the Bible tells us that Satan's antichrist is to go to the city of Jerusalem, which at that time will become his worldwide headquarters, and stand in that beautiful newly rebuilt temple, proclaiming to the whole wide world, Jews and Arabs included, that he is God. Scripture, who, antichrist, opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 in your King James Version Bible. Therefore, we have every right to look for and expect, as a prophetic indication of the signs of our times, that a new temple will eventually be constructed in Jerusalem. The present-rate Jerusalem synagogue is not this fourth temple. As carefully outlined in the prophetic scripture, in the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, the satanic antichrist will become an international ruler, and it is unto that newly rebuilt temple that he will go and declare to the world that he is God, and as read it in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 in your King James Version Bible. Naturally, a person who is not born again of the Spirit of God, who is not a thoughtful, diligent student of prophetic scripture, will doubt the accuracy of that particular statement, but it is plainly written in the Bible by the pen of an Apostle Paul, and it's an integral part of the inspired prophetic plan for the last days. Please be reminded, however, that God's prophetic plan has come to pass exactly as it is written in the Bible. That is, no kingdoms and nations are involved. The Bible will be fulfilled in every detail, exactly as written, down to the smallest prophecy. Because remember, Holy Bible is he only left you basic instructions before leaving Earth. For many years, it has been my privilege to carefully study and observe various situations which are heading toward the ultimate fulfillment of this great end-time Bible prophecy. I'm happy to report to you there's a tremendous undercurrent of preparation taking place throughout the world as well in the State of Israel to rebuild the Jewish temple. I got a friend that's been to Israel, and he said they're talking about 2035. So we'll see what does. Maybe God will do it before that. It's true, there's a small temple in Jerusalem at the present time, but it's only temporarily sufficing for temple worship. It too is called the Temple of Solomon, and it is the headquarters for religious worship for Jews the world over. But may I hasten to say, this present temple is not the one to which the Antichrist will eventually go and proclaim himself to be God. As I previously pointed out, it could be the rededicated Dome of the Rock, now the headquarters for the Arab religion, or a completely new temple, but I would rather believe a brand new building will be erected. There's no doubt in my mind that the $50,000 left as a legacy by Mrs. Hannah Ravens, wife of a Chicago lawyer, to help build the temple on the ancient site of worship for Jews will eventually be used for that purpose. Many complex and political hurdles must be overcome before such a temple can be built. The present site of the Dome of the Rock, the headquarters of the Muslim religion today, is now built over the traditional spot where Solomon erected the first temple, which his father David instructed him to build. In the light of the present national feeling between 100 million Arabs and 3 million Israelites, there'll be much political wrangling before a Jewish temple will be allowed to occupy the space where the Arabs now have their holy temple of worship. It'll be of necessity require the cunning political power of the Antichrist to bring this to reality. When the temple is finally completed, it will serve a twofold purpose. Number one, it will be the ecclesiastical headquarters for religious worship for all Jews the world over. Two, according to the Bible, this new temple will be the place where Satan's Antichrist will proclaim himself God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. As I previously said, this prophecy by the pen of the Apostle Paul must be fulfilled, every detail, and its fulfillment must be prepared even to the smallest circumstance. This new temple, which will undoubtedly be rebuilt in Old Jerusalem, is actually a closely fitted part of Satan's program of trickery, which he will successfully endeavor to palm off on an unsuspecting world, Jews and Arabs included, the false Messiah, the Antichrist, whom the unsaved people of the world will accept as God or their Messiah. Scripture, and for this cause, spiritual unbelief, God shall send them, Jews, strong delusion. They should believe a lie, except in Satan's Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 in your King James Version Bible. I, Christ, am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another Antichrist will come in his own name, him ye will receive. John 5:43, King James Version. These two verses of Holy Inspired Scripture tell us that the satanic Antichrist, when he comes on the world scene, will be so cleverly camouflaged by Satan's trickery through the false prophet, a religious leader, bringing him on the scene that the Israelites will accept him as their Messiah, unknowingly thinking that he is the real Messiah. Scripture, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 9. Another scripture, and he, false prophet, doeth great wonders, satanic miracles, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, Antichrist. Revelation 13, 13 and 14, King James Version Bible. These four verses of Scripture tell us that the Antichrist is going to be brought upon the world scene through much satanic trickery, at which time there will be extraordinary displays of satanic power with signs and lying wonders. This presentation or revealing of Antichrist to the world will have tremendous effect upon both Jew and Gentile alike. Is at this approximate time that Satan's Antichrist will guarantee the Israelites 7 years of peace. This satanic exhibition, miracles, will be one of the means used to convince them that this man, the Antichrist, is the Messiah. Another scripture, and he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week, at the halfway point, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's Daniel 9:27. So the halfway mark of the 7-year peace treaty, or 3.5 years, after the Antichrist guarantees the Israelites 7 years of peace, he will desecrate their so-called holy temple. Scripture, who Antichrist? opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 in your King James Version Bible. So we see that satanic, evil-minded Antichrist, who is known in Scripture as by several names, Little Horn, Abomination of Desolation, Man of Sin, the Beast of the Antichrist, and who has Satan's own power and authority, after 3.5 years of peace in the Middle East, going into the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and issuing a decree that the people stop worshiping God and cease from all religious sacrifices because he alone is God. Of course, we know that the future rebuilding of the Jewish temple will not be according to the directive will of God, but will be allowed by his permissive will in order that the Bible prophecy can be fulfilled, even though, as a nation, the Israelites throughout the world will be living in a state of spiritual slumber. Again, Scripture. According to it is written, God has given them, the Jews, the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Romans 11:8, KJV. Now, Scripture. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Romans 11:25, KJV. Therefore, it appears that through the permissive will of God, as recorded in Holy Scripture, both the modernistic and Orthodox Jews the world over, because of the spiritual darkness and blindness coming upon them, the spirit of slumber together with the great delusion or misleading influence to be poured out on both Jew and Gentile after the translation of the church, will be permitted to come together for the rebuilding of another temple similar to the one Solomon built 1,000 years before the first coming of Christ. First temple took 7 years to build, employed the labors of many thousands of people. It cost an estimated $56 million and was destroyed approximately 600 B.C., which when Jerusalem was burned, when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Palestine. After the unexpected confirmation of the guarantee of 7 years of peace for the Jews and the Arabs by the Antichrist, the Middle East political machine will be rolling just as the Antichrist wants it to. It's during the first half of the seven-year tribulation period, this time of 3.5 years, the Antichrist will eventually cleverly work himself into the position of a great ruler and a man of war. Scripture, they worship the dragon, Satan, which gave power unto the beast, Antichrist, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. Revelation 13:4, KJV. Actually, at that time, Satan's personal representative on the earth will be have gained such popularity and political control of this world system, he'll become satanically jealous and will resent the God worship being conducted in the newly rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem. In his furious and desperate resentment, the Bible tells us he will go into that rebuilt temple and cause the God worship to stop, and he will tell the people of the world, both Jew and Gentile, that he alone is God. Scripture, in the middle of the week, 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblations to cease. Daniel 9:27, KJV. Another scripture. Who Antichrist opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, KJV. This public declaration of absolute atheism and blasphemy by this Gentile man of war, the Antichrist, who will have given himself body, soul, and spirit over to Satan, will conclude a vital part of Satan's failed program of imitating God. It is at that time that the Antichrist will fall upon the 144,000 Jewish remnant as they flee into the desert into a place prepared of God for them. Scripture, when ye, Israelites, therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16, KJV. And the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and half a time, 6 months, from the face of the serpent, Satan. Revelation 12:6-14. Immediately after the satanic Antichrist proclaims himself God with his co-partner, the false prophet, he will begin a rule of 42 months of absolute authority upon the earth, whereby they will together control all forms of religion, politics, commerce, military preparedness, and worship. This is carefully outlined in Revelation 13, beginning with verse 11 and continuing through verse 18. At the end of this 42 months of satanic rule, the whole world, every country included, will be brought under the complete domination of this great man of sin. Through this satanic individual, Satan will be able to fulfill his boast of being like God. Scripture, I will be like the Most High God, Isaiah 14:14. Okay, and therefore, my dear listener, with the newspapers of the world talking about the rebuilding of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and with large amounts of money being left in legacies toward this positive prophetic prophet, we must be living in the day and age when Satan's Antichrist will make his appearance. Also, we have to be living in the day and age when the Son of God will come back from heaven to translate his bride, the church, unto himself. These are the greatest and most thrilling days God's people have ever seen. We're living in the midnight hour. The rebuilding of the Jewish temple must take place as an integral part of the complete fulfillment of end-time Bible prophecies in the days immediately ahead. According to the Time magazine, June 30, 1967, after Israel had been taken to the old city of Jerusalem from the Jordanians, there was much speculation about rebuilding the temple. In 1948, Israel's chief rabbis ruled that with the establishment of the Jewish state and the gathering of the exiles, the age of redemption had begun. Many of Israel's religious leaders are convinced that the Jews' victory over the Arabs had taken Judaism well beyond that point. Says historian Israel Aldad, we are at the stage where David was when he liberated Jerusalem. From that time until the construction of the temple by Solomon, only one generation passed. So it will be with us. The Jews are looking forward to rebuilding their temple. We're living in the last days. May God help us to make sure we are ready. And the next lesson will be five false theories.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults, should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashtabula, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Ruth, who do we got with us on the old gospel bus as we pull into the station?
Well, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, and just silly old me.
Oh, we got that funny little space heater that doesn't put off much heat, but we got to be aware that it's got to be properly vented or else it gives off methane gas.
Oh, dear.
All right, Emily.
I know you're being silly as usual.
I was waiting to see. So that's the kind of space heater you are. I forgot to mention you in that segment.
Keep it up, Earl. You're going to get in trouble after the broadcast, buddy.
He's getting into this silly moods again, silly.
See, if that space heater called Emily isn't given the right kind of food, she puts off extreme amounts of methane gas and needs to be vented properly.
Can I know what we should do? We should do the thing with, the poo thing. You guys usually do that thing with the ranger, yeah. That'd be something you guys could do sometime. We'll do a comedy series.
Yeah. But anyway, so, all right, here at the end, I know sometimes Emily during the broadcast catches a few other prayer requests. So, Emily, what do you got?
Earlier, I had Boo-Boo's brain went bye-bye, okay?
Uh-huh.
Boo-Boo's brain went kaboom, and it ran away like it did the day. And just being funny here, just like the day my mom tried to put me on the little yellow school bus, my brain went bye-bye and went on vacation.
Okay.
Daughter had inboxed me on Messenger, and my brain went and if my daughter heard me say that, she'd be wanting to beat me.
Okay.
She is asking for prayer because she starts her new job tomorrow.
Okay.
And she is scared to death because of the fact that she has never really worked at it. Job like she's going to be having come up, and she's afraid she's going to mess up and have her boss mad at her. And I told her, I said, don't worry. I said, you know how good of a worker you are, young lady, so don't start. Mama had to play mean mama.
All right, anything
else? Raise a little bit of dickens with daughter to get her head out of her backside and give her the youth pastor tone.
Yeah, but anything else?
I'd be keeping me in prayer because I don't know what I did. Now I'm hurting like the devil.
Well, how would you know how the devil feels?
All right, Earl, behave.
Been hanging around him a little bit lately?
Since when don't I ever be a little ornery and mean?
Oh, I was just wondering. You said you're hurting like the devil, so the only way you know how the devil hurts is if you've been hanging around him, buddying up with him for a while.
I don't think she'd do that, sweetheart.
And he keeps it up after broadcast. He's going to beat it.
Well, won't be able to do that for a while. I got a little bit of work to do. So, all right.
Keep on being bad, Kenny, and you're going to be in deep trouble with the youth pastor, okay?
All right. Well, any other requests?
Also, keeping Annabelle in prayer. She's got to work all night tonight.
Okay.
And she's already tired as I don't know what, and she's ready to scream.
All
And with that, I am complete.
All right, Ruth, anything else that you could think of?
I'm still worried about the war over there, but you know, the Lord is in on it. He's going to help him, and I believe the Israelites are going to win over Hamas eventually.
All right. Well,
I think that's complete for me, too.
All right. Well, Ruthie, we'll get you to close us in prayer. We'll be out of here. But before you do, I just want to remind everybody of the programming tomorrow on Station 2. You call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340, 1 p.m. Eastern for the Word of the King on 6Eyes Radio Station 2. And then at 9 p.m. right here on Station 1, 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. for Dr. Doug Quick at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we'll catch you for both of those programs then. So, Ruth, give us closing prayer, and we'll say God bless and good night.
Well, Lord, you're on the throne, sweetheart, and I know you'll take care of all these requests and be with all these people in those over 100 countries. I know you're ready to come back soon, but we don't know the day or the hour, and we can't predict that, but we're anxiously waiting to see your beautiful face, Lord, and we just want to praise your name tonight. Love you, sweetheart. Amen.
God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless everyone.
God bless.